MondayNightRawRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sir Rocket.
Pipe Bomb.
Mace.
Where, oh, where are my WWE ice cream bars?
Lindsay Ward.
Wait, you want me to do commentary?
I want you to do commentary.
Can I wear your blazer?
You can even wear my blazer.
I'm in.
Jackie Feist.
You want to see the text message my little sister Shalene sent me last night? Here it is. OMG, Kevin Nash, WTF, thought he was dead, LOL.
And of course, you.
Buddy, sorry, I'm a little nervous. I've always really wanted to do this.
Give us a call and give us your take on what you thought of Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote...
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
You think you know me.
On this day, I see clearly. Everything is come to life. A better place in a broken dream. And we'll leave it all behind. On this day, it's so real.
I'm not a big Arthur Bridge fan, but I really love this song.
Yeah, this song is awesome.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the hashtag Michael Cole is a moron edition of the WTR Raw Post Show, live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. I am, of course, Sorokin, joined as always by Jackie Feist.
Hello.
And somewhere out there, Lindsay Ward is going to wring my neck.
She is. She's already telling you off, and you've not even played it yet. So I'm thinking this is going to be epic. Because, you know, if she's going to beat you up, she's my girl, so I got to hold you down. So, yeah, it's going to be bad.
It's going to be bad. already dreading it.
Well, do you want to go ahead and just play it?
No, because we got to get there. We're going to get there.
Okay.
Hold him. Get her. Oh, thank you, Phantom. Thank you, Phantom, for egging her on. But tonight was a historic night. I will. Trust me. I will. I've always do and always will take it like a man. Trust me. Started a trend tonight. We need to thank a few people. We need to thank the Marks group on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/groups/Marks. I'm going to double check what it is now. It's facebook.com/group/ProWrestlingMarks. Join the group. They were awesome tonight. They helped us a lot. We can thank RingXS on Twitter at RingXS. And we can thank the Ken Reedy Show on Twitter as well. It's at The Ken Reedy Show, I believe. That's where I'm double-checking all my things. Yeah, The Ken Reedy Show on Twitter. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of other people as well. We'll get to them as well. And we need to thank everyone else who joined in on the fun in the chat room. The likes of King Kitten, Phantom, Josh, Jersey Girl. I'm getting to you. We need to thank Alan Wojcik. We need to thank Kevin Scott, a.k.a. Jamal of Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, for getting involved. And we need to thank, of course, Lindsay and Jackie.
Yay.
Also, we did get retweeted by Tyler Rex.
Oh, really?
We did. Jersey Girl got retweeted by Tyler Rex.
Nice, Jersey Girl.
Yeah. And we need to thank, was it Cranky Asshole?
Yes.
He helped along the way as well.
He did. He's a good guy.
So we had all of that success on Twitter. which generated 529 tweets in the last 24 hours. Yes, 529 tweets, which, as I kept retweeting everything, I broke Twitter.
Rock got put in Twitter jail.
Yeah, I did. I got put in Twitter jail tonight because I retweeted too much. But it generated 529 tweets, 284,596 impressions, reaching an audience of 130,505 people, which included 230 original tweets, 203 retweets, and 96 at mentions.
Nice.
I think we did a good job.
I think we did too.
I think everyone should be proud of themselves tonight for all the hard work they put in. Because we couldn't have done it without anyone else but you guys, because, you know, just the three of us tweeting really doesn't generate that much.
Right.
So to all you, we go.
Thank you very much.
Well, I'd like to thank everyone. Oh, Lindsay's already starting for next week's hashtag. God damn you, Lindsay. Can't even celebrate this one. We're already going with another one. Jeez.
This is why our show has one of the most interactive chat rooms, because Lindsay is constantly coming up with new hashtags that we've ever had.
No. We need to thank the chat room. Phantom came up with this one, I believe.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, Phantom came up with this one.
Lindsay came up with Santino for champ, right?
She came up with Santino as champ.
For champ and is champ.
Yeah, Phantom's now hearing the delay, and then he'll catch up saying we gave him credit. You know, and stuff like that. There's a little bit of a delay, but, you know, it's okay. Yeah, so we did good. We did a good job tonight.
We did.
So, there was this show on tonight. It went almost 3.5 hours. At least it felt that way.
In some spots, it felt like more.
Yeah, it kind of did.
Towards the end, I was like, oh my god, can someone just please shoot me in the head?
Yeah, the show dragged. You don't let Brock have a mic for that long.
I miss Paul.
We all miss Paul. Paul Heyman, that is.
Not that Paul Heyman knows when to shut up either, but at least Paul Heyman is entertaining when he talks.
Yes. So tonight, Raw opened with the contract signing. We had Justin Roberts introduce Teddy Long as the former general manager of SmackDown. He then decided to introduce the 2-time WWE champion and the 10-time WWE champion, John Cena.
Yeah. keep going. I'll get to my point eventually.
I'm like, I know we said Michael Cole is a moron. Was the goal tonight. Teddy Long didn't help her case to start the show. I'm just saying. Then we brought out John Laurinaitis. He's called Teddy Long, saying, oh, we're not doing it now. Who told you to do it now? And yada, yada, yada. And Laurinaitis ordered Teddy Long to tell Cena to leave. Blah, blah, blah. And then out came the rated R superstar Edge.
And that was the point when I squeed so loud that they heard me all the way down the street. It was so good to see Edge.
Yes, Edge came out, you know, he says, this is not the Cena he fought. He doesn't know who this Cena is. He wanted the new this Cena, the real Cena, to stand up, you know. So the real John Cena, just stand up.
God.
I'm stretching there.
Yeah.
He doesn't know if it was the loss to The Rock that changed him. He mentioned Andre the Giant after Hulk Hogan, Bret after the Screwjob, even The Rock after he got beat by Brock Lesnar. It took him 8 years to find his mojo. Edge said that Cena can't lose to Brock.
You know, that's interesting. How long was The Rock out of WWE before he came back? 8 years?
Something like that, yeah.
And how long was Lesnar gone before he came back? 8 years?
8 years, something like that.
Wow.
Around the same time. They both left the WrestleMania 20 in their last matches.
Dang, God. It's like these guys, I don't know what it is about 8 years, but yeah.
Nine. I'm being corrected. Nine. Thank you.
But wasn't he saying 8 years in the promo?
I'm being correct. You're going to disagree with her? She's corrected me saying nine.
Okay.
I'm going with Lindsay on this one. You know, gotta, you know, she's going to kill me in about a second. Anyway. Anyway, he said it's a slap in the face to him, Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker. And he's not asking him to beat Brock Lesnar. He's telling
him to beat Brock Lesnar.
Exactly. So, give your thoughts.
Honestly, I'm not seeing, even though they probably don't know what's going on with this match yet, I really don't see Cena going over in this match, so I think these are interruptions from people like Edge. It's just grinding the glass into John Cena's hand.
And it forms something else. Yeah, we'll get there.
Can I have your attention, please?
He is a moron.
Thoughts. Nothing else matters about this segment. Why? Because we got Edge. Squee. Oh, yeah, and a Taker name drop for the win.
You're a dead man. You know that, right?
Uh-huh. I know.
She's going to find a way to call in, and she's going to rip you a new one.
No, she just sent me a message.
Saying?
You are so fucking dead. Before we continue on, we have a caller on the air. Caller, welcome to the Raw Post Show.
Yay. What? It's me again.
It's you again? Who are you?
Phantom.
Oh, hi,
right.
Phantom.
Oh, right. You're Phantom. What's up?
Got gas and taxes. And what's down? Everything related to John Cena.
Please expand upon that, please.
What they're trying to do with this is just, I guess I'm going to play Debbie Downer again. I don't know what the hell they're trying to do, but like, you know, Cena coming out with the chain thing tonight, mm-hmm, was kind of, in my opinion, that's like too little too late when it comes to Cena. Cena's already shown that he's going to lay down for whatever celebrity of the past WWE decides to bring back. So I'm just, in my opinion, Extreme Rules is going to be no different. He's going to be no different, no more successful against Brock Lesnar than what he was whenever he was a rookie, prematurely facing him for the title. You remember that? Remember, mm-hmm, that debacle?
Yeah, I remember, right, that debacle. Yeah.
Yeah, that was horrible, actually.
Yeah.
But then again, at least back then, Cena was actually a punk. He was actually someone that I actually liked seeing. He just wasn't ready for a, you know, WWE title shot.
Right.
He hadn't even won the freaking US title. We had to wait till Brock Lesnar left the WWE for him to win that.
Happened the same night.
Yeah, pretty much same night he won the title, Brock Lesnar left WWE. So, you know, that was quite an interesting turn of events, but the reason I'm saying too little too late is because we should have seen this side of Cena come out for Mania. It might have made the build up to Rock v. Cena a little bit interesting. That's what I was hoping to see. But the more reality I got, the fact that we weren't going to see that we were going to see the same old Cena all the way up to Mania. He was still going to get the cheers from the kids and the booing from everybody else who had, you know, more than like a pound of brain in their heads. Mm-hmm. And that's saying a lot since wrestling fans are pretty dumb as it is. It was, you know...
Hey, we're not that dumb. We're not morons.
the ones on this show aren't that dumb. I mean, I'm talking about the average wrestling fan. Think about how stupid the average person is. Think about the average wrestling fan.
Okay, you have a point there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because most people said The Rock kicks Cena's ass and realizing this, and the smart people realize The Rock couldn't even, Cena was carrying The Rock the entire match. But
yeah, Rock was winded halfway through that thing.
Yeah, yeah, it was horrible. But the whole point is, the Cena that they're trying to do now should have happened about 3 or 4 months ago, building up to this match. If it was supposed to change something. They were talking about changing the game. They were talking about changing all this stuff with Cena and the Rock. And the more they kept building it up, WrestleMania should have proved to everyone with half a brain in their skulls that that match changed nothing.
I would agree with you in some aspects there. Yeah.
Yeah, it changed absolutely nothing simply because Cena was still going to come out eating his bowl of Fruity Pebbles. He was still going to be the baby face of the company. He was still going to be that, you know, be a star anti-bullying face that, you know, WWE supposedly needs him to be. Mm-hmm. When actually they really need Cena to be a badass again. That's what they really, really need.
And, you know, he tried coming out as a badass tonight, and, it, you know, after the,
No one believed it, though.
I know, because next week on Raw, which he shouldn't be on, I'm just saying now, he should not be on Raw next week. He'll come back out as the same old John Cena again, and it won't change a thing.
Absolutely. That's why I'm finding it so hard to believe, like, him coming out with a change. Hey, the truth, I wish he would, like, here is, I fall asleep and I have a dream scenario. Like, I would cheer John Cena again. He will become one of my favorites if he did this. He went back to his old gimmick, his old music. I would not hear My Time Is Now like we've been hearing for the past 6 or 7 years. I would actually hear Basic Thugonomics again. He would throw up the double hand like he used to. That might make me cheer for him again. That might give me some inclination that he's ready to be the Boston Badass that he originally was when he came in WWE. That was the gimmick that got him over the first time. Where he really fell off is when WWE started making him Super Cena.
Right.
That's the only thing that's going to save John Cena's career, in my opinion. Or save his image in front of the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And to tell you the truth, until then, I just want him to get destroyed by every celebrity that comes his way until that happens.
As he should. He needs to. He needs a character change, and him losing to everybody might just help.
But is it necessarily a good thing for him to go backwards? Instead of going back to something that's already years old, why not do something different and new?
I wouldn't go with the gimmick, the old school Thugonomics gimmick, but I would change his character slightly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, it's like, in my opinion, anything is better than what he has right now. I'm just giving you, this is the best case scenario. I want him to go back to something similar. I want him to go back to being a rule breaker, a guy who doesn't really give a damn. You know, maybe not the Thugonomics thing. I don't care. I just want him to be that I don't give a damn kind of guy again. Like, you know, the same kind of guy that first came out against Kurt Angle, and, you know, Kurt Angle asked him, what do you think brings you to the table? You know, what do you have to bring? He said, ruthless aggression and beat the shit out of the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I want to see again. I want Johnny Badass, I guess, you know.
I understand where you're coming from with that. He needs to change. He can't be happy-go-lucky anymore. He needs an attitude.
Yeah.
If they do change, I'm one of those that honestly does not think John Cena is going to turn heel anytime soon. But assuming he does at some point, when they turn John Cena heel, I think that's the first step that WWE is definitely looking to make some changes because he's the face of the company.
Well, to tell you the truth, the fact that she got a heel running both a heel executive running both shows, this gives John Cena the perfect opportunity, in my opinion, to not necessarily go heel, but to be that almost Austin-esque badass who takes on the establishment and just embarrasses John Laurinaitis constantly. Granted, it's a worn-out storyline. It's a worn-out, it kind of gets old at times, but, you know, it would go a long way it would go a long way for Cena, in my opinion. It will be a step in the right direction. The only thing more I like seeing than seeing the current Cena get his face shoved into the dirt is not seeing John Laurinaitis on the TV screen.
Well, you're going to see a lot of John Laurinaitis on the TV screen for a long time to come, it seems.
Well, the only thing that would actually make that more bearable is someone like Cena or CM Punk constantly embarrassing him week after week.
All right. Well, they might get back to that. If they got it, well, they're going to establish him as the heel, and he'll get his comeuppance at some point. He needs his time to establish the role, and, you know, I'm good with him, you know, without being confronted for about a month or two, and then you'll get the CM Punk. Once CM Punk's done with Jericho, he'll be back against Laurinaitis.
Oh, yeah, and to tell you the truth, that'd be a nice little pairing with Cena and Punk actually working together to embarrass John Laurinaitis for once. I would actually like that, because CM Punk already has a devil-may-care attitude toward John Laurinaitis anyway. Granted, he's in an epic storyline with Chris Jericho, which, sobriety test, in my opinion, like, it was one of them really moments. I'm going to change subjects right here because I have to address this.
Right.
Sobriety test was brilliant. Punk sold the beans out of it. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of had a really moment when they did that, but the end result of that was just, yes. That is what I want to see. I was very, very happy with that, believe it or not. You know, and it, plus it gave me a ton of material for my Michael Cole is a moron hashtags, if you that everyone so gloriously retweeted.
Yeah. So, all right, we're gonna let you go so we can continue moving along on the show, because
I'm about to hit the rack myself. Speaking of which, Chief Luck, Thursday night, the rack. Listen to it.
Thank you, my dear.
No problem, guys. Love you guys.
Thank you. Have a good night.
That
was the Phantom, ladies and gentlemen. So where were we? All right, we got through the first segment.
Yeah, we were squeeing over Edge.
And, you know, up next, speaking of Chris Jericho was in action against Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, you kind of saw where that match was going as soon as you found out it was Kofi.
Yeah, you kind of did.
I like Kofi, and it's not my intention to put Kofi down, but they're not going to put Kofi over on Chris Jericho at this point.
No, especially leading into a pay-per-view?
No.
Right.
Why would they do that? Why would they do such a thing? Why would they make him...
Well, you got to keep Jericho looking strong.
Yeah,
so.
Right. You have to keep him looking strong. They gave him, you know, like a...
It's just kind of one of those things where it feels like such a waste because you don't know how much longer Jericho is going to be there.
Well, August is a long way from now, so we're going to have Jericho around for a bit. Don't worry. And they gave him actual time. Well, they had plenty of time to give them. Since they had 3 hours, they gave him about 12-13 minutes for this match. I thought it was, they have good chemistry together, I would say. And, you know, I like the finish. Put Jericho over strong.
Yeah.
You know, and all that fun stuff.
Can I have your attention, please?
Gosh, she's going to kill you.
Nice match between Jericho and Kingston. Both have good chemistry with one another. Typical rundown of Punk by Jericho after the match. Yes, he ran him down, and, you know, he gave him a gift, which played a lot into part of the show, which we found out what the gift is in a little bit. As we came back from, well, actually when we came back from break, it was CM Punk got a liquor basket.
Yeah, that's nasty. I'm straight edge myself, so yeah, that's gross.
So Josh Matthews was the recipient of all the alcohol inside that basket except for the Jack Daniels.
Yeah, and he's gonna need it too.
Can I have your attention, please?
And if you want to be here to see the murder of Sir Rock, and be here for the Rack Thursday, 11 p.m.
I'll be dead before then. Anyway, damn it, why did he have to take the bottle, Jack? If you're going to waste liquor, then waste the Jim Beam. Give the bottle, Jack, to me.
Yes, give Lindsay would appreciate it, especially when the poor thing has got to be at work till 11 o'clock at night. Yes, give her the alcohol.
Yeah. Up next, we had R-Truth, who opened the ropes for Little Jimmy, which I found hysterical. I don't know why, but I did. It took on Lord Tensai.
Yeah, and that pissed me off. Is it just me, Rox? Seriously, your honest answer. Is it just me, or is this whole Lord Tensai thing just fucking stupid?
Wouldn't call it stupid.
I
would call it, they have to develop it.
Okay, here's my thing. If you're going to pick a character like Lord Tensai, don't pick a great big white American. I mean, it just doesn't work. I mean, and at least that's my opinion of it. And then to have Tensai get over on someone like R-Truth, who I like a shit ton more, I was just pissed. I was like, at least R-Truth is entertaining. I was more entertained by R-Truth's entrance than I was the entire rest of the match. And I'm like Lindsay, my biggest fear in life on Mondays is that those tights are not going to hold. And we're going to see more of Lord Tensai than we ever wanted to. I swear, one of these days, those suckers are going to blow, and it's not going to be a PG show anymore.
So eventually we're going to see his kendo stick?
Oh, God. Yeah. I just, it's one of those things where I don't want to come down too hard on them because I like that they're trying to come up with gimmick characters, but you chose Albert to be Lord Tensai. I mean, you know, why?
Because he went to Japan and, yeah. I don't know. The Finnish saw Tensai do the mist and then to his own hand and did the claw, where he actually got a pin. So that's a step. He's pinning people because they're not superstar wrestlers, so they can't just, you know, stop moving.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Can I have your attention, please?
Can we please get rid of Tensai's outfit and get him some damn pants? Speaking of getting Tensai things, let's get him a personality. The squash matches are getting old. Time to develop him, creative.
Thank you, Lindsay. I think his tights are one of the reasons why I don't like him. I would rather them get him a different character and some tights to fit instead of me going blind. I work on a computer. I need my eyesight. And if something pops out, it's going to be it. Ugh, God.
I like how we go from a useless backstage segment to the next thing written down. Amazing backstage segment 2. Kane, hashtag, yes, yes, yes.
Yes, please.
And this was only him walking to the ring. That's all. He was just walking to the ring.
Yes, and Lindsay and I squeed across, what do you call it, Skype. Just so happy. I had a long day today, so I needed that.
I won't play the clip because it's just the backstage segment. He's working it even if he's got the dorky over mask on. Then we move to the ring. You know, we had Kane in the ring. Would you like to explain what Kane talked about?
Well, it was just more of the same about Randy Orton and picking on his father or knocking his father out and like father like son. And you're just a scared little boy and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Just more of the same between the two of them. He looked real pretty but while he said it. But, you know, it was still more of, you know, what we've been hearing for the last few weeks. And we found out just what an evil bastard Kane really is.
Oh, we did. But as Kane was doing his talking, on the screen came Randy Orton.
Ooh.
Orton said there's no turning back once you mess with his family. He said that he had to return the favor. The camera, you know, moved back a little bit, and then, tied up in a chair, it's Paul Bearer.
Now, here's what's unfortunate about that. That's the exact same position that Paul Bearer was in the last time we saw him. Tied up, beat up to a wheelchair.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have a comment I'd like to make about that.
Go right ahead.
If anyone was listening, I don't know if it was The Rack or if it was on this show, but Paul Bearer was on Twitter vehemently denying that he was going to be on WWE TV. Yeah. I don't know why you guys just don't understand that I'm not coming back. And I'm like, well, you know, with all due respect, that's what the exact same thing you said the last time you came back. And he totally whatevered me. I got a one-word reply of whatever. And then he was on TV. I was like, that's cold. That's really, really cold. I got whatever, and that was right.
So, trapped in the freezer was poor Paul Bearer. And then Kane said, I'm sorry to say, Dad, I have no intention of saving you.
Kane's an evil motherfucker, don't forget it.
He'd leave
Lindsay and I in there, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
We got boobs and everything, he'd still leave us in there.
Yeah, I think he would.
Yeah.
Can I have your attention, please?
Nothing else matters about this segment. Why? Uncle Paul was there, and Kane was just H-O-T. Insert 20-minute Kane squee.
Squee!
So yes, we had Kane to start off the trending worldwide of hashtag Michael Cole is a moron. Just saying.
Looked damn hot doing it.
Up next, we had backstage Chris Jericho walking around, and then he runs into Arai, who said he caught Punk drinking a bottle of booze.
Yeah, you fucking snitch.
That
totally sold Punk out.
Snitch?
Hashtag snitch.
Oh, poor Lindsay. Poor Lindsay. Poor Lindsay. She missed the Kane talk. Sorry, Lindsay. Sorry.
He read your statement, and I reinforced the hotness that was on TV, so. Oh, God.
So, yes, we had Riley the Snitch. Stupid word. So, yeah, we have the Snitch. And up next, we had a tag team match.
A what?
A tag team match.
What's a tag team?
It's when two guys take on two guys. Yes, it's a tag team.
You know, that sounds really cool. They should have a division like that in WWE and have title belts.
That are shaped like pennies?
No.
No? But I thought their belts are shaped like pennies. No?
Now, since we have guys against two guys, is there like mud or pudding or jello involved in this wrestling?
No.
who cares? Okay, anyway, go ahead.
We had Cody Rhodes and Alberto Del Rio take on Big Show and the great Kali. Thoughts?
Kali was favoring his leg going out. It's really interesting to see that they are actually continuing a storyline using a tag team. You know, they actually carried over the idea that Kali's leg was hurting because Cody Rhodes attacked him.
I don't think you have to fake his leg hurting. Just saying.
But I think the thing that's most difficult, or no, not difficult. It's not the word. Not right. The word disappointing about that is that's just putting these guys over. That's just putting Cody and Show over for their match at WrestleMania. It's really not anything that indicates that they're going to start doing anything about the tag team division again. It's still going to be stupid. The tag team champions are still only going to have the belts because they have a piece of ass they want to put next to it to shake her hips around. It's not anything that indicates any kind of a change to the tag team division, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I would agree. Sorry, I'm distracted by baseball. Sorry. They're on the West Coast. I'm sorry. Things
happen. That's the one. That's the one with the puck in the hoop, right?
No. This is the bat and the ball.
Okay.
The one with the puck in the stick happened yesterday.
Okay. So, wait, there's a puck in a stick?
That's hockey.
Oh, I thought there was a puck in a hoop.
No.
Okay.
It's called a goalie net, not a hoop. Basketball has the hoop.
Oh, okay.
The ball and the hoop. That's basketball.
And the basketball's the black and white one, right?
What was that? Basketball's the what?
Black and white.
Black? What do you mean black and white?
Like, isn't a, like black and white. Like, you kick a black and white ball.
No, that's soccer. That's soccer.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Or football.
Football. Yeah, I know soccer. My ex-boyfriend was obsessed with soccer.
Can I have your attention, please?
Liking the pair of Cody and Del Rio, they're an interesting would-be tag team, and they would also make an interesting feud.
Yes, that's the ones that you know are going to make the best tag team, because they're the ones who are going to make the best feud when it's over.
We're going to get news thanks to the Ken Reedy Show, who helped us out tonight, and they're giving us some news in the chat room, but we're almost there. We'll talk about it, and I have a feeling we'll be ranting. One of us will be ranting in a moment. We had a backstage segment. Well, a couple backstage segments. First, we had Jericho go to Laurinaitis. And, you know, all that fun stuff. With Eve, apparently. Eve now has power. Where did she get power from?
I don't know. Apparently, they think people want to see Eve on TV. So they're doing this.
So was that happen? That's how she got the power after the three-way last week?
Yeah, sorry, Eve, but all we saw were you and dude Otunga and Laurinaitis go into a room and close the door behind you. Sorry. But, yeah, that's what we're thinking.
So basically, they announced that if, you know, CM Punk can't pass the field sobriety test, he would be stripped of the WWE Championship. And that Teddy Long would be the one having to do it.
Yeah, it sucks to be Teddy Long right now.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other backstage segment featured Brock Lesnar beating the crap out of Josh Matthews.
Yeah, that was pretty lame. I was like, okay, if you want to make someone look like, you know, badass or legit, you obviously, you know, you have them beat up people, but I mean, he could have gone after Jericho, he could have gone after Kane, he could have gone after all of these people to make himself look badass, and they had him go after Josh Matthews. Dude, I could beat up Josh Matthews.
Can I have your attention, please?
Thanks to Jericho, Punk now has to give a cop a blowjob while Brock attempts to kill Josh Matthews. things I learned from this segment. So Eve apparently came out on top in the threesome. Punk is supposedly drunk, and Brock has anger management issues.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I get that I'm not one of the core audience they're looking after with Brock Lesnar, but yeah, I don't get it.
For those just tuning in, because there might be a few of you, every time we play the sounder, it's for Lindsay, our other co-host, who's working. She sent in her thoughts via email, and that's why I'm playing the sounder, and I'm going to be in trouble in about an hour when she gets home from work, and she's going to kill me.
It's called Dead Meat.
Hashtag Rock is dead. Just saying. Up next, the WWE Divas Championship is on the line when one of the Bellas, reading Lindsay's recap, one of the Bellas versus Beth Phoenix, which was Nikki Bella, by the way.
Yeah. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
We saw the crowning of a new WWE Divas Champion. Now you may go.
Okay, so I know that there's a lot of people who are looking at their watches expecting me to go on this rant about how stupid it is, but to be honest, I'm not going to. There's a few train of thoughts going on here. Number one, it's been pretty much well speculated and some pretty good evidence given that the Bellas are going to be leaving soon, so this could be just a go-home for them. But even if they've re-signed and they gave the belt to her, to whatever Bella it was, and gave it to Beth, am I surprised? No. The real women's wrestling is never going to be appreciated in the WWE at this point. My hope is that being an actual worker with a bit more experience, my hope is that maybe Triple H will allow, once he and Stephanie take over, maybe allow women's actual wrestling to come in. But after watching Kelly get victories over Beth Phoenix and now the Bella Twins, I'm over it.
Okay. To explain some things that happened, Beth Phoenix jumped off the side of the ring and really fucked up her ankle. According to the Ken Reedy show in our chat room, she has a severely sprained ankle. She is lucky if it's a severely sprained ankle. I watched it like 3 or 4 times and you saw her ankle bend.
Okay, but here's my question. Has any legitimate backable sources confirmed that she's injured?
I'm trusting him. He must have read it somewhere.
But where did he read it from?
I don't know. He'll catch up.
I mean, it's nothing against him. It's just that a lot of people say a lot of things on the internet, and it's really hard to know who to trust.
Visit WWE.com for the update, apparently. She's undergoing an MRI, which will reveal the extent of the injury. She injured the ankle during her WWE Raw match against Nikki Bella. There's an update on WWE. It's on WWE.com. So there's your backing.
Well, yeah, but they WWE.com tends to do a lot of kayfabe, too.
But if you rewatch the clip, you can see her ankle bend. And it didn't look good. Just wanted to throw that one out there, because I watched it repeatedly just to see what happened. She came off the thing and went, boom, her ankle gave out, and then she was in a pileup. That probably didn't help. So, there you have that one.
Can I have your attention, please?
Nikki Bella, wait, rewatch this. What, the blue fuck? Dude, the Divas champ is on Raw. I didn't know she still had a job. Go Beth. On a side note, Divas Lumberjill match equals hoes on a parade. Bullshit finish.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how things go if Beth really did hurt herself and there was really nothing else they could do.
They might have just improvised the finish, maybe.
Could be.
We don't know for sure. But the long title reign has come to an end. And I think maybe we will see Cena match up on Extreme Rules, so we may get someone else in that spot to take the belt back.
Natty.
I'm all for that one. Hashtag Natty for champ.
Yeah, your favorite tag team.
No. Well, it is a good tag team. But I wasn't the one who started that one. Some other people did. Like Mace. But we're not poking the bear. We're not poking the bear. We've gone an hour almost without poking the bear. We're not gonna poke the bear.
What about choke the bear?
If you wanna choke his bear, go right ahead.
God, you just gotta make everything into a perverted statement.
Yes, I did. It's an easy setup. Anyway, backstage, Laurinaitis delivers the breathalyzer news, which we kind of see, to CM Punk. He was not happy about the whole thing. So then we come to the ring for the... I should say, Lindsay said CM Punk has a man. So, and she... Well, might as well quote it.
Can I have your attention, please?
So Punk is going to blow the cop in the ring. Funny, I thought this was a PG show. We move to the ring for the field sobriety test. Chris Jericho comes out, wants to watch it. And, you know, the cops say, do the alphabet backwards.
Dude, Rock, can you do the alphabet backwards?
No, I don't think I can.
I don't think I can either.
No, I don't think I can. Neither could CM Punk, apparently. He tried his best, but I think it was a screw-up because it was trending on Twitter. With Michael Cole as a moron.
It was?
What?
It actually trended?
What did?
Michael Cole as a moron?
No. I'm just throwing it out there. But the letters S&T were trending on Twitter. So CM Punk fails at doing the letters, and then does the walk. He staggers on the not-so-straight line, according to Lindsay. Because it wasn't a straight line. Someone fucked up there.
Well, she's an artist, so I believe her.
I believe her, too. I have to say nice things, or I'm going to be really dead.
You're dead anyway.
Yes, but I'm trying to earn brownie points, so I'm not totally dead. Oh, okay. Anyway, so CM Punk then says, can I have one more chance? One more chance to get do this. And then he starts doing the alphabet.
Did you see what Lindsay wrote?
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm totally dead, though.
Yeah, just saying.
Yeah, and then he does the alphabet backwards and does the walk at the same time. Moonwalks backwards as well, and then the brawl's on. Thoughts?
It was good to see Punk get over on Jericho for once for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. It was good. I agree. Lindsay says this segment is why I love Punk. I would agree with her there. Punk is awesome. And he wasn't drunk. Even though people were chanting to see him drunk, I think.
Yeah, he was faking.
He was a faker. That man lied. He lied to us all. But it was really well done.
But it was a really good rib on Jericho. And next week, Riley's a dead man, I'm sure.
Oh, probably. Up next,
Snitch.
Snitch. Up next on the card, Sheamus versus Mizark Henry in a non-title match with the special guest referee, Daniel Bryan.
And I'm sorry to say I missed that match. I pulled a Lindsay. I got up and went and got food. I thought I would have time to... There's a subway, like two lights away from my apartment building. I totally thought I'd be able to make it in time, that there was like a line of 50 people inside and 100 people in the drive through, so I didn't make it back in time.
The match lasted about a minute or so, which saw Sheamus and Daniel Bryan go face to face and then turn around. Mark Henry nails him with a clothesline, and then we had the fast count for the 1-2-3. Then Bryan, you know, chants yes, and starts to walk away. Sheamus goes after him, brings him back into the ring. Mark Henry charges at Sheamus, gets the bro kick, Then Brian chops the leg and then goes for the yes lock.
So I'm curious. How many times has Sheamus defended that title since he's won it?
None. You don't have to defend it.
I just remember seeing other people who held that title in the past defend it on TV a lot more.
They have another pay-per-view to sell. Remember this? Two pay-per-views in a month.
Yeah, I think maybe we might actually get a 20-second match this time. Just saying.
We're going to go for 20?
Mm-hmm.
20 a fall or 20 overall?
20 overall.
Okay. So what? 6 seconds a fall?
No.
6.5, 6.3, whatever it is.
Can I have your attention, please?
Ebony and Ivory live together in perfect harmony. Hashtag yes, yes, yes.
You know, I'm concerned about this popularity on the part of Daniel Bryan.
Why?
Because he's been a jerk, obviously, and he's a heel, right? So he's supposed to be a jerk. But here's the thing. The character of Daniel Bryan has made mincemeat of AJ for about the last month now. Mm-hmm. And I'm not upset about it. This is just the story of a young woman. She's going to get her heart broken, and then she's going to get tired of it. She's going to beat the hell out of him instead of Natalya. But one thing that I can't help but notice is that he's bringing out this obnoxious character of Daniel Bryan is bringing out the obnoxious characteristic of like every guy in the arena, because he told AJ to shut up and guys cheered. He told her to go to the back and she left, and they did that na-na-na-na goodbye thing. And then yesterday, after he, you know, emotionally battered this 95-pound little woman, guys were yelling at her that, you know, you suck, as she was walking away. And I'm like, yeah, Daniel Bryan's heel push is bringing out the worst in the male population of the WWE universe.
Jackie, welcome to the wrestling business.
Yeah, it sucks. That's like, we need more Beths, and we need more Natties, and we need more Karmas in the world.
Welcome to the wrestling business. That's what fans do. Just gonna point that out. That's what fans do. Backstage, Sheamus cuts a promo. Apparently, this I did not see.
What's your excuse?
I don't know. I was probably on Twitter or something, breaking it. I did not see this at all. I honestly was just reading the recap. Sheamus called him a sniveling coward who hides behind a referee shirt. He called Brian a snake and asked Stryker if he knows what happens to snakes in Ireland. He said if he were Brian, he would start praying.
Well, that's two of us who don't know what happened to snakes in Ireland.
So, Lindsay screams Stryker, and that's about it. Saved everyone from hearing Michael Cole for that one. Up next, we had a tag team match, a second tag team match this evening. The WWE Tag Team Champions, Epico and Primo, with Rosa Mendez, took on the Long Island Cobra. And as she put it, Long Island Cobra versus Team Booty Shorts. Basically, it's your basic tag team match. They brought up Twitter and Rosa complaining on Twitter. In the end, after Primo goes for a dropkick, Santino does a roll thingy, gets back up, hits the Cobra, and scores the pinfall victory for Team Long Island Cobra.
Can I have your attention, please?
Santino won. Yay!
Yay! Are we going to address the backstage segment with them now, or are we going to wait?
With the
next... Epico and Primo and Rosa Mendez and Abraham Washington.
Go for it.
Somebody needs to tell Rosa Mendez that if Epico and Primo sign Abraham Woffington to be their manager, her stupid ass is out of a job. She was actually looking at that card and actually thinking about it. And I was like, really? Just saying.
Okay. Well, that came after the one we're going to talk about.
Tight shorts or cutting off flow to the brain.
Lindsay says, Rosa needs to watch out. Someone's moving in on her men.
Thank you. God, she's dumb.
But we skipped the backstage segment. The song Reunited, and it feels so good. Sounds about right for this segment. We had Kane and Paul Bearer. Go talk.
Well, Kane was walking somewhere backstage and happened to cross the freezer where he saw his father stuffed in. And I had fingers ready to type to Lindsay, "Aw, he's going to help his dad after all. He's just a big softy." No, that wasn't quite how it happened. He pulled Paul Bearer out, a bawling Paul Bearer out of the freezer, still tied to a wheelchair, just to tell him that he wasn't going to help him, pushed his own father back inside.
Pushed back inside.
Back inside the cold freezer. Dude was blue. Dude was shivering. Yeah, that's what you get for telling me whatever on Twitter.
Hashtag poor Paul. Just saying.
You tell me whatever on Twitter and that's what happens to you.
Can I have your attention, please?
But it was an accident then. This time it was on purpose.
Not going to lie, I squeed and lolled at the same time.
Lindsay is bringing up in the chat, in the production chat, that he pushed his own father off a balcony. Or actually, I think it was off the top of a ladder, wasn't it? Edge had put him on top of a ladder, put the wheelchair on top of a ladder, and Kane thought it was fake. And he pushed the wheelchair off the top of a ladder and then looked over the edge, and Paul Bearer sprawled out on the floor.
Might have been balcony, I'm not sure, because the ladder wouldn't work if the wheelchair's on the ladder.
I'll have to see if I can find it on YouTube. I'm pretty sure it was off a ladder.
All right. Well, you go do that, or eventually find it. Yeah, they were reunited, and then he got put back in the freezer. Enough said. They got their sweet moments twice.
Kane still looked fucking hot doing it, just saying.
Twice in one night. I'm surprised it took him like an hour and a half to get there. Just saying. Up next, we had Funky Swoggle versus Special Ed Show. In other words, Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger versus Brodus Clay and Hornswoggle. Nothing to really the match, except for it was a ladder, apparently.
Yeah, it was a ladder. I found the video. King Kins, post it in the chat.
King Kins found it, too.
Oh, yay. Exact same video.
Same link. Okay, good job, guys.
Thank you, Kane Kittens.
This match was brought to you by Doritos Taco Things.
That's bad, dude.
Hey, they can throw things out there for a sponsor, so how about that? So yeah, Brodus and Hornswoggle defeat Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger. Nothing really too much, and then they danced. Gonna do it because I have to.
Can I have your attention, please?
Result: Funky Swoggle. Didn't see it as I went to Taco Bell.
I am not eating one of those tacos. That just sounds disgusting. Sorry, WWE. Sorry, Taco Bell. Nope.
And finally, we have the contract signing part due.
That's the most painful WWE TV I've seen in a long time.
Brock Lesnar came out. Well, Laurinaitis came out, then Brock came out. They called for Cena. Cena didn't show up. So they sit there, and Brock talks. And he talks. And he says he has some demands. Let me pull up the quote. He read off his demands, which include, Vince's jet. He wants it to, you know, Raw to be Monday Night Raw, starring Brock Lesnar. He doesn't want to be fined. He wants all decisions to go through him or some shit like that. And he's sitting there, and he's getting, you know, drawn out, and it's going long and long and long. And he goes, until these demands are made right now.
Demands are made right now.
Until these demands are made right now.
Demands are made by you, Brock Lesnar. John Laurinaitis meets your demands. Just saying.
Until these demands are met, it's the way it should have been said. Brock, I'm sorry. Do not give Brock Lesnar a 10-minute promo segment. It was not good. It was not good. Battle of the botch line, Brock versus Laurinaitis.
At least Laurinaitis was smart enough to be quiet through most of that.
First Teddy Long, too, Lindsay. We'll add first Teddy Long because he screwed up a lot, too. So, then John Cena came out. Chain in hand. Thugonomics chain in hand. Ready to fight. Ready to go. And nothing happened. He just stood there. Anger in his eyes. Brock screaming, sign it, you're scared. Sign it, you're scared, yada, yada, yada.
John Cena, give me $1 million. No, you're fucking scared. I love how that line always works on him. You're scared.
He's scared. And then he signs the contract. Then Brock walks away. Thoughts?
I thought it was kind of cruel
to us.
Well, not only Brock's hour long promo, at least what felt like it, but just to make it so, I understand why they did it last, but so many people tuned in to see this and then they didn't do it. I was like, yeah, not cool. But I kind of wish Cena would have said something. I was like, at least that would have made at least something out of Cena would have given 10 minutes worth of drivel some kind of meaning. But he didn't, so.
We didn't get any Cena speak tonight.
No, we didn't.
Cena did not speak at all.
No.
Can I have your attention, please?
They've got the cheap table out there. Someone's going through. Brock seriously needs Heyman as he can't string a promo together, two hands, and a flashlight. So based off this promo, Brock basically wants to be Vince. And I won't lie, I was praying for Hunter or even Vince to walk out.
Yeah, me too.
Brock and Ace are cutting a promo together is worse than getting your teeth pulled. Good intensity by Cena when he finally got out there, and it was a nice way to close the show.
Yeah, she's right. You know what, I can tell you, within the last 6 months I've had a root canal, and it wasn't anywhere near as painful. Just saying.
I guess I'm going to be waiting for a phone call, Lindsay, maybe?
No, you're going to be waiting for her to show up at your door, dude.
I'm such a dead man. Such a dead man.
She wasn't talking about her home. She was talking about your home.
Right. Anyway, overall thoughts on the show, Jackie?
Got two promos with Kane, which cannot be beat. It was good to see Paul Bearer again, even though it kind of sucked to be him tonight. I beg of the WWE, no more long promos with Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar, if he's bringing back legitimacy, less talking and less beating up of, you know, announcers and more beating up of Cole, not Cole, sorry. Yeah. I'm more beating up with Cena. And, you know, let's, you know, I'm interested to see what will happen tomorrow. I mean, I guess they thought they wanted to end it big because this is the go home Raw into the pay per view. But yeah, having Lesnar talk for 10 minutes was kind of a fail.
Yeah, that kind of was a little bit of a fail there.
Honey, it was a lot of a fail. That my demands are made. There's to be no more 10-minute promos from Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. Because I can, and I'm already dead.
Can I have your attention, please?
Lesnar is not going to have a chance to get you because Lindsay's going to totally Matthew you before you even gets a chance.
She gave it a B-, thought it was a decent show. Obviously, it was very promo-heavy, as we all expected to be. But the promo/segments had some value to them and helped enhance the show. I would agree. But we got, what, 7 matches on the show in 3 hours?
Right. And God bless those who did wrestle tonight, because the WWE has had a really, really, really rough last 2 weeks.
They've been on the road a lot.
They've been on the road in Europe. And, yeah, apparently they were doing some Make-A-Wish stuff, which made me make a comment that came out looking like a total bitch yesterday. But, yeah, I mean, they're just probably all exhausted, and it's really unfortunate that some of them have to go down to SmackDown before they can just go home and sleep until Extreme Rules.
Yeah. So, yeah, I give the show a B. It was good. It was better than a lot of 3 hours of Raws. Three-hour Raws. This actually had a purpose to it, and it didn't just throw out random matches just for the sake of it. They had some purpose.
Right. And the fact that they actually thought enough to sell the Kane-Randy Orton storyline, that they made the effort to bring in Paul Bearer. I mean, I don't think we'll be seeing him again, honestly, but the fact that they made the effort shows them actually trying to push their storylines with anyone else besides Cena for once, which is always a win.
And they brought an Edge.
They brought an Edge. Yeah, see, there you go. They're actually making an effort to bring in people.
They gave us surprises tonight, which was unexpected and enjoyable.
Indeed.
So yeah, B for the show. But yeah.
Oh, one more thing. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Because it is the 23rd, is it the 20th? Let me just check something real quick.
Yeah,
we're not going to do the show again until Monday, which means we're not going to get a chance to say this. So, and we'll talk about it more in the rack, but on the 27th, which is Friday, there's a very, very special birthday.
I thought his is the 26th.
I thought it was the 27th.
I thought it was the 26th.
Okay, well, there's only one thing to do. Wikipedia. Yay.
I think it's the 26th, and that's a Thursday.
I'm looking it up. If it's a Thursday, I'm going to squeam my head off, because that means we're going to be on the rack, on the show, on his birthday. I'm bringing it up on bringing it up. It is on the 26th, so yes, on the show this Thursday, Kane's birthday on the rack. Oh, God, this is going to be a good show on Thursday. Oh, my mind is going now.
Oh, we'll talk after the show. Oh, Christ. I'm fearing Thursday now. Anyway, that was the Raw Post Show, and since we only talk Raw, we've done an hour. We've done this is a longer show than... we'll talk about
short show for a long show.
We went an hour, which is longer than we've been going.
Is it?
Yeah, we've been only going like 50 minutes the last couple weeks.
Well, you're the producer, so I'll trust you.
Hey, we talked about everything.
We did.
We don't need to do a 3-hour recap for a 3-hour show. We're good. So, I want to wrap up this show. Tomorrow night is Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. On the show will be Just Incredible and Danny Doring, live at 9 p.m. Eastern. Check that out. Wednesday night is just another goddamn wrestling show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern with Jed Schaefer, Brian Boddy, and the Cheap Wood Paneling. They'll do picks for Extreme Rules and everything else they do on the show. Thursday night is apparently The Rack with Lindsay and Jackie.
Apparently, yeah.
Where we're apparently going to talk Kane. Maybe.
We at least have to have a Kane birthday segment, at minimum.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it,
we'll
yeah.
We'll talk about it. So that happens at 11 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, CB Radio, midnight-ish. It will be the 29th annual Godfather of Extreme Appreciation Night.
Excuse me?
Yes, it's the 29th annual Godfather of Extreme Appreciation Night.
Okay, and how old are you?
I'm 27.
And this network has been on the air for how long?
This will be the 29th annual Godfather of Extreme Appreciation Night. If you can figure some stuff out, you'll understand what this means.
Okay.
What's Thursday?
Kane's birthday.
Well, his birthday's not on Saturday, but it's next Monday. So we're doing the show Saturday. So it's the 29th annual Godfather of Extreme Appreciation Night. Now you get it. It's a clever name.
Right.
I thought of at the end of last week, last Saturday's show. So check
wow.
it out. Sunday night, it's Wrestle Talk Radio. 11 p.m. Eastern as we'll recap Extreme Rules after it goes off the air. And then we'll be back next Monday night at 11 p.m. Eastern. We would like to... 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We would like to thank the Ken and Reedy Show. We would like to thank at RankXS on Twitter, at Cranky Asshole on Twitter.
Yes.
The Marks Group on Facebook. All of you for participating in the hashtag Michael Cole is a moron hashtag. Follow Jackie on Twitter at Jackie Fice. Follow Lindsay at Lins Ward, LINSWARD, at Wild Talk Radio, Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook. I don't have anything else to plug. I got anything you want to throw out there real quick?
No.
So for Jackie Fice, I'm still rocking, and it's probably with my last night. I'm a dead person. Lindsay Ward returns next week on the Raw Puff Show. We'll see you then. Good night, everybody. WildTalkRadio.com.